Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
As the world gets back to normal, or as more workshops go online, we're going to need to go over again the best way to get the most out of a workshop and how to avoid the bad crap. Because it's I Should Be Writing Season 18, Episode 12. Complete with two dogs.
Well, I should be riding. I should be working on my craft. I should be riding. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor.
Hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers, and I am your host, Myrrh Lafferty. I have been doing this show since 2005, before I'd sold anything, and now I'm still doing it in 2022, after having sold six novels, I think. Seventh coming out in October. October 4th, actually. There's a pre-order up on both the Grand Scary mega corporation and, at least on my local store, the link is up. So if you search for Station Eternity, wherever you buy books, you should be able to see it. The cover's not public yet, but the cover to be revealed is there, and you can pre-order it. And yeah, I should have put a link in the chat, which I will have for the next bit. But yes, Station Eternity, Myrrh Lafferty, October 4th, be there. Or pre-order now, whatever. So yeah, I have... It's been kind of a... I'm not liking this winter, I'm really not. I just seem to have the good days and the bad days. Had my medication checkup with my doctor first week of the year, and I'm like, I'm doing fine. And then after that is when, like, the depression comes back, and I can't handle any of my ADHD stuff. And so one thing I did this morning, instead of writing, was working on my own. I am not a therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist, or any sort of mental health professional, but it works for me, kind of productivity method for ADHD sufferers, and I'm going to talk about that later. Needless to say, I did not get any words done, but I was very excited this weekend when I took my last class with Brent Forrester, and as he's wrapping up, like, a new idea for either a sitcom or audio drama just kind of burst itself from my head, like Zeus and Athena. I don't compare myself to Zeus very often. That was weird. Anyway, so I'm eager to do that, and I'm trying to use that as my treat after I finish the words on the novel. Novel's going well. I'm happy about it. I'm extra happy about the fact that I floated a working title by you guys last week, and Summer wrote it down, my producer. She wrote it down for the show notes, which is great because I forgot what it was. Okay, so... yeah, I believe it was a Swarm of Cuckoos, I think. That sounds right. I did find out that the collective noun for cuckoos. There are two collective nouns for cuckoos. One is a cooch, which I did not feel comfortable using. And the other one is an asylum, which makes a lot more sense. So, but yeah, I've got days where I feel like I'm just kind of struggling and days when I feel like I'm getting stuff done, which I guess is everybody every day around this time of year and this time of our place in history. Sorry, I got distracted thinking about the obituary that was written that frankly blamed all the unvaccinated people in the hospital for taking up space, and then this woman died because she couldn't go to the hospital because there weren't beds. I'm kind of dealing with that in my own family right now. Hopefully not on the level of death, but something needs to be done and the doctors won't do it. Because it's elective, technically. So fun. I am not talking about good news. That's like irritating news. I do want to talk about good news. Is there good news? My book is up for sale. Finally, the pre-order link is there. And I got my idea for a fun audio drama. And I think that's it for me. The dogs have calmed down. That's also good news. But I'm going to go to the chat. And we had some good weekends. Kikimi just successfully avoided being scammed by someone who hacked a friend's email. That's great. Good for you. January especially felt rough for the mental, emotional health. Yeah. Hey, Todd. Good to see you. For anybody, I think there are really only four or five of you who have used the Kick in the Pants workshop. I thought you were in the Discord and you're not, and so I'm not sure what's going on there. But, yeah, I was supposed to do a workshop today and it didn't happen again. I'm feeling bad that it's slipping my mind again and it wasn't supposed to, but we're going to try to set that up on Friday, the 11th, at 3 p.m. Eastern time, which is my usual streaming time, so, but that'll be in the Discord. But if y'all have any good news, let me know. I think I have a little bit in email, which I will check right now. I mean, my part of my good news is also the fact that I'm getting through my backlog of email. Oh, Badger Hub just got a job offer for a dream job. That's amazing. Congratulations. That's very exciting. I assume you're going to take it. But that's very cool. Congratulations. Confetti for you. And the dog's moving again. There's really not room for you back here. Now just push the green screen aside. That's cool. Yeah. She's so dainty. All right. I've got the email from Star-Eyed Green, but I believe... I can't remember if this was older or not. It was from January 31st. I think we already counted those, Star-Eyed Green. But, turn on the dog cam. Okay. Yeah, that's dated. I'm just checking. But, turn on the dog cam. Yes, I can do that. It's going to look a little awkward because she has moved to the other side and is kind of blocking the actual stream. I did a dog cam scene. It's dog cam time. Got new dog news. And yay button not doing what it's supposed to do. So yeah, it's you can see his snoot on the floor and her chest as she's here wanting more attention. But yeah, this is the tiny little space they've got and they're both managing to be in it. Share the wealth with the doggies. Everyone gets a treat when you get your dream job. Yes. Everybody gets a treat. Okay. Now we got the big close-ups. All right. Good dogs. Pauline says, I don't make the stream often. Stupid job, but here's some good news. My first story rejection of the year came today, so one more for team rejection. Woo! Did I turn on team rejection? I don't think I did. One moment, please. Hold that thought. There we go. Team Rejection. Go, Team Rejection. This is for you, Pauline. Whenever you listen to it, we're cheering for you. And I believe that's it. Oh, I've got another piece of good news. Very good news. I'm hiring a, I hired an assistant. Which, like when, he's an assistant for another writer friend of mine, and when I contacted him and he told me what he does for her, I just wanted to start crying because it's all stuff that could greatly help me. So I was very excited to bring him on board. So he's getting used to stuff, but things hopefully will be more streamlined now. Can we get an assistant, Cam? I don't think so. He's not here. So yeah, I don't think that would work. Treat the assistant. With what? I'm not sending him dog treats. That's like, that's rude and mean to the dogs. Assistant treat reward win. When him posting on social media on a regular basis gets me more readers or podcast fans. Berries. Not really something you want to mail. Anyway, if you have any good news to share, either show up at the live stream Tuesdays, Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and tell us during the good news segment, or just email me with good news in the subject line. So my theory... Oh, wait, sorry, I missed a good news. Catwood pitched the story to This American Life and they actually wrote back? That's amazing! That's very cool, Catwood. Hildy Eric, good to see you. I won honorable mention in the Writers of the Future contest. Just got my certificate in the mail. That is fantastic. That's a very, very cool thing. Congratulations for both of you. So yeah, I tried to come up with my ideal ADHD-friendly organization method. If you watched the stream yesterday, I was talking about how I just decided to start doing scorched earth with the things in my life that make me feel nauseated. And it's not like severe nausea. It's just like you look at something and your entire soul goes, And that was my new planner, my shiny new planner, and that was also my Animal Crossing island. So I ditched the planner, and I nuked the island. So I have a new island, and I have a legal pad. Yes, legal pads are great. So we'll wait for the confetti to do the confetti thing, but that's congratulations to both. That's really great. So yeah, first list my top three priorities, often things that are on fire. That's easy, right? And then I do my D20 list, which is everything I have to do, everything from answer that email to text Matt a question, things like that. And then I use a key beside them. So the key is I mark stuff that's super fast and only takes like, I gotta give 5 minutes of mental energy to this thing and it's gone. And then something that's ongoing, like building the I Should Be Writing archives, I'll do that for 15 minutes. I have something that's on fire because it's been on the list for several iterations. There's the one that I'm worried about, which is the points to a tinier list. For example, one of my things to do was to get a before stream checklist, but that had to go to the tinier list of actually making the checklist, things like that. And then there's the frowny face, which is the nausea list. And many of these things on the list will have more than one thing. So I lucked out today that there were 20 things. So I lucked out there. So I just used the D20. And I was going to bring one of the D20s that I made up here, and I think it's still downstairs. Rosa, go get me a D20. Okay. So, if it has a tinier list, like I mentioned, I'll put the tinier list on another page. I don't want to look at it. But, that's also going to have a die, unless it's like things that need to happen in a specific order. It's going to have a die attached to it as well to help me decide. Wire Duck, I don't think you understand how I feel about puns. So, no. It is not. And sometimes I'll have just the nausea list on the D20 list. Because I'll put them all together and make them go sit over there. As I start crossing things off, I assigned the numbers that were just crossed off. Like if I did number 7 on the list, well, I've done it. So now when 7 comes up, what's going to happen? It's going to have to go to one of the nausea list ones. And it's really stuff that I is probably easy to do, but I dread it. I was watching a woman on TikTok. She started doing ADHD videos and got really big. I think Fire Rider told me about her. But one of her things was she's standing at her car and she's like, I've dreaded cleaning out the back of my car for 3 years. And once she finally did it, she timed herself. It took her 18 minutes. So try to remember that. So anyway, I'm still trying to figure out how to break down the list. The main thing is you take... Our brains are not good at figuring out priorities. And it took me a while to realize what that exactly meant. Because even when you say X is a priority, your brain still is not processing that and making it feel urgent. And so that is why I like this random list, because the decision's out of my hands. I feel a little weird and bad about myself in that it takes just a die roll to get me moving when me sitting here going, Murr, you have things to do, isn't getting me moving. But if it works, I'm just going to embrace it. I have a lot of dice in this house. A lot of dice. I've been making new dice. So much dice. So many. So yeah, I've got little ways to approach this list. Like, just do them, like if I were to roll a D4, I would do 1 through 5, or no, sorry, I was equating a 20-sider with a D4. Same thing, different number of... it's all the same in math. So, like, if I did the D4 method, it would be something from the priority list, or something from the do a whole bunch of little small things list, or do something that's on fire, or do something that takes 15 minutes, or do something that's nauseating. And then there's the time breakdown, where you think, I've only got X amount of time, I'm going to put it towards all the tiny things, and then I roll the die for all the tiny things. I'm just coming up with different kinds of ways to approach it. I just wrote this down today. So I'm going to be working on it a little bit. So I'll let you know what works for me. Wait, I play D&D. Yes, I do. I got started in writing professionally, writing for role-playing games. Yes, I do... I never said I wasn't a nerd. In fact, Numbers Ninja gave me Thousand-Year-Old Vampire for Christmas, and it's like, it looks like a solo role-playing game, and I've been trying to figure out if it's something I can or will want to stream. I'm not sure how it would work, but it interests me greatly. Yeah, there's that, and then there's Brindlewood Bay, which feels like if I need to run a Brindlewood Bay stream to promote Station Eternity, because there's Brindlewood Bay is about old ladies who solve crimes, and also there's an Eldritch Cthulhu tie-in, and that's somewhat, it's only slightly connected, but it made me so happy to read that this is a thing that exists. I really want to play it. So yes, I don't do any streaming role-playing, but I have been considering it. Obviously not paying her enough attention, I know. So anyway, that's what I've been thinking about priorities. And I've been thinking about self-care too, because I've been kind of in a rut lately. And this morning, I knew I had errands to run. And I got dressed. Okay, I got dressed after 12, but still. And that's when I remembered that self-care is not necessarily wrapping yourself in a blankie and eating chocolate all day. As much as that sounds awesome. I remember when I got laid off and was looking for a new job a very long time ago. And one of the things that I read about is, if you get laid off, you need to still get up and get dressed as if you're going to work, because right now, searching for a job is your work, and that helps your brain not get into the depressive rut of, I don't have a job. And I'm doing early morning writing with Cameron Hurley now, and Cameron has a day job on Zoom, and so she pretty much goes from our writing date to straight to work, so she's always dressed. And I'm almost always in my pajamas. And she said, yeah, she could probably dress down, because it is Zoom work, but it helps her get in the mindset. And it's got me thinking about self-care. And self-care is sometimes doing stuff you don't want to do, but you know is better for you in the long run. Like any kind of exercise. But I was thinking about that today and realizing that I should probably put on something nicer than a clean stained. That's a thing. Clean stained sweatshirt and yoga pants for my errands and eventual stream. So I'm just trying to remember that sometimes self-care has to have care in there, like taking care of yourself. So I'm reminding myself to do that. So we've been talking about workshops. And I think we were doing it in the Discord, I think, because somebody was going to do a workshop soon, I believe. And I realize we haven't talked about workshops in a long time. Ideally, and this is my opinion, obviously, my show, but I'm not saying everything or this works for everybody, but the best workshops I've been in, there's a leader, and when it's time to discuss someone's story, they're not allowed to speak. They're not allowed to correct you. They're not allowed to say anything. They're not allowed to argue. They're not allowed to ask questions. Everybody at the table does their speaking about the work. In a perfect world, they're going to give their criticism in a way that opens you up to fix it if you wish. For example, I don't think that character was very well developed, or I hadn't seen anything in the past that would indicate the character would react that way. And, you know, that could just be putting a little bit more of that character earlier on. They're not going to get personal. Again, we're talking perfect situation here. They're not going to get personal. And when it's over, you thank them and ask any follow-up questions. Most people write down questions when they're being critiqued. And then if they have questions for you, they'll ask it. There's usually a lot of questions when the situation is you're critiquing the middle of a book. Because critiquing in the middle of a book is hard because you don't know if something's been foreshadowed or if a character's acting out of character. Yes. So that's the perfect world. Worlds aren't perfect. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what you can do to try to make the workshop better as you approach it. First thing would be ask for rules. Are there any rules in this workshop? And if they say no, suggest some. Even if there is not the author can't speak rule, consider adopting that anyway, because I just ask people to realize you can't go out and approach every single person who's read your stuff and tell them, you've got this wrong. You read it incorrectly. You're not getting it. Let me tell you what I meant to do. Once you put it out there, it's on its own. So I try to think that when I'm in a workshop, because if I didn't get something across clearly, that's on me. Or if I decide it's on them, that's still not an audience member I want. So I have to think about how important it is. Never go personal. It's really hard. We can make assumptions about certain people by the way they write certain things in their stories. But it's still best to refer to the story and not the author when you're doing a critique. If your feelings are hurt, and they probably will be, even if you go in there with the best intention, knowing that everyone is there to make your story better. And in order to do that, they're going to have to tell you the weak parts. You're not there for validation. You're not there for validation. So The Kids Are Asleep says, sometimes a cheerleader is more appropriate than a critic. Here's a little secret about what I do. Sometimes I've read things that are just awful. They are awful on every sense of the word. The characters are awful, the setting's awful, the dialogue's awful, it's just awful. And I know if I go in there and say, this is garbage, that nobody gets anything from that. Nobody learns, nobody feels good. That's all terrible. So if you just have this laundry list of how awful everything is, it's best to pick one thing and give them advice on how to improve on this one thing. Maybe give them craft books or suggest a book that did it really well and suggest that they read that and learn from it. It's important to cheerlead still. It's important to say what you like, because even though we obviously know it, we want the pillow to be there for when we get punched. If this is very important, and I have not done this, and this isn't even a workshop, this is more of a beta reader thing. If there's something you need, and whether that's you want some cheerleading, you want someone to tell you that you're on the right path, you can say that. And you can also say, I don't want line edits. I don't want character critique. I don't want you to tell me what's wrong with my opening chapter. I remember I started a story and I was feeling really good about it. And I sent it, I sent like the first couple of pages to a friend of mine because I was feeling so good about it. And the only thing she said was, I used passive voice in the first paragraph. That was not helpful at all. So that kind of sucked. And I don't even remember what this was or if it grew into anything or if I just scrapped it because she stepped on the tiny little bud that was growing in my mind. Yeah, so your expectations, your needs are important to communicate. If you're doing a very structured workshop, that may not come across because they're going to have already critiqued your work via writing on it. But if you are approaching beta readers or doing a more casual type read in the morning and critique in the afternoon kind of thing, let people know where the story is in your, like, is this a beta draft? Is it a first draft? Is it a completely rough draft? Let them know what you need from it. Okay, Kimmy says, I have to admit that I sometimes avoid critiquing my siblings' writing because I'm afraid I won't have the right balance of objectivity and support. Sometimes you can just ask them what they want, what they need, if they ask you to read something and you're not real clear on how detailed to get. That's okay too. It's good to know your own limits as a critic. Yes. Yeah, you need to consider your personal pet peeves and soapboxes as a critique. Catwood says it's important to give a list of things you want feedback on. Like, do the characters seem consistent? Does this scene make sense? Yes. Although that can backfire on you slightly because sometimes you'll be focused on something that's wrong with your story. You know it's wrong. And you just want to think, how wrong is it? Or you don't want to tell anybody. You want them to find it and organically help you fix it. And so you don't tell them what you're looking for because it's also possible you are completely wrong and the part is fine. But if you tell them, look for this, then they are going to look for it and probably find something wrong with it. So in that case, I don't always tell people what I'm looking for in a critique. Like, I was worried about one thing. I don't remember what it was, but I was worried about a specific thing with a character in the Station Eternity. And it turned out that my editor wanted me to scrap another character entirely, and she liked the character that I was worried about. So this was me having, well, I guess a different opinion than my editor, but also I was a little too deep into it to see that this other character was the weak one, and this character, you know, build up a little bit, but it's pretty cool. So maybe you can say, please focus on characterization or plot or something, because when it comes to, you don't want to lead them to the mistake if the mistake's not there. That's my wisdom for it. Kids Are Asleep says, I like the ABCD method. Note things that are awesome, boring, confusing, or disbelief, as in broke suspension of disbelief. Yes. Mary Robinette Kowal came up with that. Probably. That sounds like her. There's also the red line of death, which is, it's harsh. It's a little harsh, but it's also very illuminating because some people will just, if you're reading, it helps reading a paper manuscript. You're reading a paper manuscript and then you start to get bored. they're not keeping your attention. And so you draw the red line and you go, this is where I would stop reading if I were reading the story for pleasure. Yeah, it's kind of cruel, but at least it's not cruel as in it's a judgment on you. It doesn't get personal. It's nothing. It's just like the story has some pacing problems or some, it's just not exciting. And this is where I stopped reading. So that is something that, use it if people, if you think people can handle it, but don't, yeah, just be kind. But it's really, really useful once you get past the you hurt my feelings thing. You know, when someone's weeping, stranger weeping, and it's part of a narrative of something, you think everyone around that person who is ignoring them is a monster. And only one person goes up to say, are you okay? Yeah, that hasn't happened to me in real life. When I was on my last residency for my MFA program, there was a new student who, I never knew what made her cry. I was not in the same workshop, but she arrived at lunch, clearly still very emotionally bereft. And nobody was saying anything to her. And so I'm just like, look, I know these critiques can be really rough. If you want to talk about it or anything, let me know. I've been through several of them. And she just kind of looked at me like I was breaking into her private asylum of grief and I needed to get out. I don't even think she said anything to me. And I'm like, oh, well, there's that try to be a good Samaritan thing I just threw out the window and made everything really awkward. That was my very weird transition about how people are going to react in different ways. And you cannot control that when you're workshopping. I can't remember what it was, but I was doing a workshop at a con and somebody had put in like a story that they had edited many times and workshopped many times. And the critique they were getting was, you know, you just need to do another draft or it's just really rough right now. You can get to it, blah, blah, blah. And like the more they told us about this story, the more everyone got more and more uncomfortable because in theory, they should have fixed everything by now and they were getting so despondent. And I ran out of buck up, little camper, we'll beat that slope together kind of support. So sometimes you can give critique in the most gentle way possible that you think, and it's still going to destroy someone. And unfortunately, that is the nature. That is the nature of workshops. I think I've told this before. James Patrick Kelly has been a mentor for me for a very long time, even before I went to the Stone Coast workshop. And I've had him on the show. I haven't had him on the show in a while. I should get him back. But if you remember Jim, or if you've ever met him, he's so friendly. So friendly. He's got a super friendly voice and he's got this fun energy. And workshopping is his favorite thing to do in the world. Like some authors don't do workshops well, some authors don't teach well. It's that, you know, just because you do something well doesn't mean you understand the ins and outs well enough to teach it. Jim Kelly does. And but in talking to my fellow students at Stone Coast, they were saying, like, you know, Jim Kelly made me cry. Jim Kelly just tore my whole thing apart. And I was just baffled. Because even when he has said bad things, and he did not like one of my stories, flat out, did not like it. It was really funny because everybody else at the table liked it. And he's like, no, this is just generic, plain, like, this is not good. You're not going to sell this. And I trust him. And it wasn't the best story of my life, and I didn't have everything riding on it. I think that was part of it, probably. But essentially, it was just, I'm still baffled at how Jim makes people cry, because I think he's just one of the best teachers around. But he clearly upset some people. So you could think you're being the friendliest, most helpful, kindest person. Somebody might not react that way. You workshops are tough because they do require you to be vulnerable, usually in front of strangers. And people react different ways to that. So I think I'm going to end the official part of the show here, and then we'll keep chatting a bit in the stream chat at the BarCon, which is what we're calling the post podcast chat now. If you want to participate in the BarCon, we stream Tuesdays, Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So yeah, you can find me at murmurs.com, email mightymur@gmail.com. I have an assistant. If you want yourself or your author, your client, to be on the show that I don't do a lot of interviews on, you can email lafferty.assistant@gmail.com. All the other ones were taken. So, yeah, I'm not taking interview requests anymore. They're all going through my assistant. So lafferty.assistant@gmail.com if you would like press inquiries or interview requests. And you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymur, ko-fi.com, ko-fi.com/mightymur, or PayPal, mightymur@gmail.com. And that is it for me. I will see you on Thursday. And until then, you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at murverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor. Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.